It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The ACT Party has recently announced that candidates standing in local elections, if elected, will oppose attempts to mitigate emissions at a local level. ACT local government spokesperson Cameron Luxton says councils should focus on what they can control and not costly symbolic declarations. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party Simon Court, I spoke to him about this move. We also discussed the government's sanctions on Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich. New Zealand has joined countries such as the UK, Australia, Canada and Norway in banning these Israeli MPs over allegedly inciting extremist violence against Palestinians in the Israeli-occupied West Bank and undermining peace for a two-state solution. Finally, we discussed changes being made to the proposed anti-stalking laws. But first, we discussed ACT candidates opposing attempts to mitigate emissions at a local level. Why will ACT local candidates oppose these measures at a local level?
Simply because climate activism from local councils is a waste of money, and that's why ACT councillors will put a stop to it. There's no point in local councils coming up with declarations of a climate emergency. Declaring something an emergency doesn't fix it. We don't want councils to be sending staff on ratepayer-funded climate junkets. Wellington Council just spent around $200,000 on international travel for staff and councillors over the past couple of years, travelling to conferences. And when we think about how do we reduce emissions in New Zealand, they're already covered by the emissions trading scheme, which puts a price at the moment of somewhere between $55 and $60 a tonne on all emissions. So councils that want to reduce emissions can simply choose to drive less, buy EVs for their operations. And, you know, that's the kind of action that all New Zealanders are thinking about when they go and put petrol in the car. You know, I'm paying $9, $10, $11 every time I fill up. So, you know, it behoves the individual to make those decisions about how to reduce emissions. The price incentive is there.
If we are looking at Auckland City Council specifically here, in 2023 we saw the Auckland anniversary floods and Cyclone Gabriel batter parts of the city. Despite opposing attempts to manage emissions at a local level, are there plans for these ACT local candidates to support local communities that may inevitably be impacted by the climate crisis in any way?
Well, absolutely. We do not think that council should be trying to change the weather with emissions control strategies that are already covered by central government policies and actions, but certainly planning for resilience, making sure that councils invest in things like, you know, stormwater management, stop banks, and actually just getting the council maintenance contractors out there to clear drains, you know, suck out the catch pits before we have a storm, and make sure that channels and urban streams are not blocked by vegetation or people having built fences in the way. I mean, a lot of those things did contribute to the flooding that we saw around anniversary weekend in Auckland 2023. And ACT councillors will be focusing on those practical measures to reduce the impacts of climate change and weather events on our cities.
On to our next topic. New Zealand has joined the likes of the UK, Australia, Canada and Norway in banning Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich over allegedly inciting extremist violence against Palestinians in the Israeli-occupied West Bank and undermining peace for a two-state solution. What are the ACT Party's thoughts on this move?
Well, as a member of the government, I stand behind the positions taken by Winston Peters as our foreign minister, but I do want to note that those bans are targeted at those specific individuals for their specific statements that they've made. This is not a sanction on the actions Israel has taken or on Israel's policies or on Israel's right to defend itself. This government continues to support the Israeli people who've suffered immeasurably after the Hamas attacks of October 7, 2023, and who continue to suffer through Hamas's ongoing refusal to release their hostages, and of course now with Iran's retaliation against Israel's strikes on their nuclear facilities.
This is not the first time the country has imposed sanctions on Israelis. Last year, we imposed a ban on 33 Israeli settlers, the country deemed as violent extremists. Could we see further sanctions on Israel and specifically Israeli MPs?
Well, my expectation is that when individuals are identified as, you know, having contributed to the kind of things that these that the people who have been banned, their actions that have been ascribed to them, then, you know, I would think that New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade will be making those recommendations. But I don't see anything further coming up in this area right now.
Finally, changes have been made to proposed anti-stalking laws in the Select Committee, with Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith saying that these changes would strengthen the law. How are the ACT Party feeling about these changes?
Well, the law is triggered after two specific acts of stalking within 24 months. Originally, when the bill was proposed, it was 3 in 12 months, but submitters thought that this wasn't strong enough, and the committee, including an ACT MP on the committee, agreed that this change actually better recognises those patterns of stalking behaviour and the time that can pass between incidents. We're also really pleased that the committee has agreed to add new sections to enable the disposal of any intimate visual recordings possessed by a person convicted of a new stalking and harassment offences. So yeah, we support the bill. We've also welcomed progress, we also need to ask what's next in addition to the progress on the stalking bill, because we're really concerned about explicit deep fake images and the digital abuse that that allows, which is why our MP, my colleague Laura McClure, has put up a members bill that would create a specific offence for creating or sharing sexually explicit deep fakes without consent, which would give police and the courts clear authority to act, which they currently don't have. So we see these two things, the stalking bill and Laura McClure's members bill, which allows the criminalisation of explicit deep fakes without consent, as complementary.
Despite being supportive of these changes, the ACT Party have said that police should use their power to provide potential offenders with a written warning that their behaviour could be tantamount to stalking. Would victims be made aware of this process? And if not, would it not jeopardise their safety?
Well, I think it's really important that the police have powers not just to arrest and charge, but to identify when these behaviours are occurring and proactively use written warnings against people who have crossed a line or who are nearing a line. Because what we don't want is people who are vulnerable to be subject to stalking behaviour. And if the police can intervene before that happens or before that individual crosses a line, then that's much better for everybody concerned.
Opposition parties, despite also supporting the changes, say more can be done. They propose that those charged with stalking have their firearm licence taken away from them and have called for stalking-specific rehabilitation programs. Are these changes the ACT Party would support as well?
Well, one of the good things about our firearms licensing system is that it identifies people who are fit and proper persons to hold a firearms licence. And if the police are concerned that an individual is no longer a fit and proper person, then of course they have the right to take their firearms and to take their licence or suspend their licence. So the ACT Party would agree with that.
And with the latter one about calling for stalking-specific rehabilitation programs?
Well, I'll leave that up to the ministers responsible, because I don't have any insights into that. But I would have thought that people who are behaving in a repeated way and who are potentially, you know, obsessive or you know, otherwise can't control their emotions that lead to stalking, I'm sure it would be helpful if they were to engage in some cognitive behavioural therapy. Certainly wouldn't be opposed to that, but I don't have any insights into what government's plans are for that.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on ACT local candidates moving to oppose attempts to mitigate emissions at a local level, the government banning two Israeli MPs, and changes made to the proposed anti-stalking laws. We'll be right back.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.